When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to another edition of the Juice on the Cuse podcast. Matt D'Agostino and Wes Chang coming to you Friday, January 5th. We are in 2024. We have turned the calendar. It is officially the new year, and Syracuse basketball off to a start that was inauspicious to 2024 with a 20-point loss to Duke earlier in the week. We'll take a look at their matchup against Boston College, which is their next game coming up next week. But, Wes, I want to start here with this. You mentioned in the last podcast that maybe it was time for a lineup change. In particular, Nyheim McLeod has been unproductive in that spot. And lo and behold, crazy as they may be, there are people actually agreeing with you, Wes Chang, which has never been proven fruitful for me in our time as friends. But I'm curious because there were some people saying exactly what you were saying. Maybe McLeod needs to be replaced by Malik Brown, and there you go, off and running. But there are people who have taken it to a little bit more of an extreme and have said not just McLeod, but also Bell, also Taylor. Chris Bell has averaged less than 4 points a game in his last five. Justin Taylor has no made field goals in his last two games. I guess where I want to start with this with you is, it sounded like you thought maybe just replacing McLeod with Brown was sufficient for the starting rotation. But do you think Adrian Autry should take it even further and replace multiple starters with bench players?
Yeah. So, Matt, here's my updated proposal, which, you know, we've been talking about this, and I think it's given, especially given what you just said, which is shift Malik Brown into the starting lineup. We've seen what he's capable of, a career-high 26 points against Duke. And at this point, I think he needs to be playing the exact same amount of minutes that J.J. Starling and Judah Mintz are playing. I think that's the easy one. Here's where my proposal kind of veers off a little bit, which is at the wing position. I do think you need to sit one of your starting wings at this point. You know, Justin Taylor, Chris Beller just aren't getting it done right now. You just mentioned it, and you saw their struggles against Duke, a combined 3 points between them. I'd rather have an energy guy in the lineup, whether that's Benny Williams, you know, again, provided that he plays like a power forward and not a shooting guard, or Quadir Copeland, who can give you that immediate defensive energy and an extra ball handler who's always looking to pass. So my preference is to have Taylor in the starting lineup because while he's not shooting well, he's still rebounding and playing defense, and he gives you the other things that, you know, if he's not shooting the ball well. On the other hand, I think Chris Bell does need to go to the bench, and he can have that mentality of a sniper coming off the bench when he needs it. So that would be the lineup adjustment I make. Of course, the center position, I think that flip-flop is a pretty easy one. But then at wing, again, I think Bell needs to go to the bench, and either Williams or Quadir Copeland needs to join the starting lineup.
If Williams or Copeland joins that starting lineup, you know, you often hear coaches, analysts, Joe Schmoes all kind of saying, like, you know, that energy component is great off of the bench because it's an instant spark plug. Is that something that can be replicated as a starter, bringing that right from the stretch? I mean, that's one thing we've seen Syracuse struggle with is, you know, they've gotten out to early deficits here of late and are kind of playing from behind from the jump. Is that something, that energy, that spark, can that be provided as well from the beginning of the game if you're starting, as opposed to a change of pace off the bench?
Now, I've never seen Kwadir Copeland not bring energy to the game. So I think inserting him into that starting lineup would really give Syracuse that added dimension. When you talked about it, you know, them getting into the early deficits, I think getting a defensive spark plug like that, who's willing to move the ball and brings that energy right away is really going to be exactly, you know, kind of what Syracuse needs. And, you know, this goes into kind of our next topic, which is, you know, Seth Davis mentioning on Twitter, or now it's, I guess, called X, that he's selling Syracuse, you know, not making the NCAA tournament right now. And I personally think it's a little bit knee-jerk reactionary, you know, given that they don't have any bad losses. Matt, are you selling, or are you buying Syracuse stock right now for the NCAA tournament?
I'm still in the ship that says they'll make the tournament, or they are a tournament quality team. Let's put it that way. But it doesn't bode well that of their losses to these ranked teams, Tennessee, Gonzaga, Duke, they haven't been close. They're losing by almost 20 points a game in those contests. And they lost to Virginia by 22 in their first ACC matchup of the season. So things like that certainly need to improve. Their strength of schedule because of those games is actually pretty good, 34th in the country. And they'll have North Carolina coming up in a little bit. They'll have other tough conference matchups, Clemson as well, that will help out that number as far as that's concerned. But Seth Davis, what he was kind of pointing at as to a reason why he didn't think they were a tournament team was just the actual personnel. No seniors, relatively inexperienced as a group, first-year head coach, all that sort of thing. It was more of an experience-level thing than a talent kind of thing. He did seem bullish on their future with some of the guys they're bringing in and the direction they're headed. But they've got to do better against the better teams. That's plain and simple.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned it. Duke, Virginia, Tennessee, Gonzaga, they're all either in the top 25 or have been hovering around them. They're all tournament teams. So there are no bad losses on that resume right now. So I do think it's a little premature to be kind of writing off Syracuse right now. I think the next stretch of games will really give us a better idea of whether to buy or sell Syracuse stock. You look at Boston College, which we'll talk about in the next topic, you know, at number 8 UNC, at Pitt, hosting Miami and hosting Florida State. Now, I don't expect to win at UNC, but the other four games are in play because these are relative peer schools to Syracuse as it jostles for that position in the middle of the pack of the ACC. So if they come away 4-1 from this trip, which I think they definitely can, I'd have a hard time saying sell Syracuse stock. So I think Seth Davis is, you know, trying to draw a little bit of attention, maybe the ire of the Syracuse crowd a little bit, but I think he's a little bit premature in his thinking.
Seth Davis, I'll say it, colleague of mine during March Madness for TNT and TBS. He's prone to hyperbole every now and then. He's not shy. And so, you know, he certainly will drum up conversation amongst Central New Yorkers in that regard. But you mentioned Boston College, Wes. That's the next opponent for Syracuse coming up on Wednesday, the 10th. Syracuse won 10 in a row against the Eagles. So that bodes well. But this Boston College team is a high-scoring team. They've scored 80 or more in 4 of their last 5. So not necessarily a cakewalk kind of game, but again, one of those that you're hoping Syracuse can go into and pull out a victory.
Yeah, Matt, I think the broader implication to this game is I actually think this is one that Syracuse really needs to have. One, they're at home where they're undefeated this season. So I just talked about Boston College being in that peer school list, and they're currently ranked 91st in the KenPom rankings, and by reference, Syracuse is 84. So if you want to separate yourself from the middle of the pack, this is one that you absolutely need to have. And it's an interesting matchup for another reason, because of Quinton Post. The 7-footer out of Netherlands is a matchup issue for the Orange because he's one of those Euro centers that can step out and hit the three. 18.4 points, 8.1 rebounds per game, and notably shooting 47.5% from downtown. So we've been talking about lineup changes. This would be a good test use case to start Malik Brown immediately because I think he's a better perimeter defender. He's a guy in best position to defend against this skill set, even if he's giving up a little bit of size. So I think it's an important game for Syracuse. I think it's one that they always need to have. We're going to have Jake Flaherty on in a little bit, and you know, he on the football side, but you know, it's always important to beat Boston College, whether it's basketball or football. And I think this is one of those games.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head in terms of this rings true of a Malik Brown type game for Syracuse in the next one. But just as important as we said, you know, getting good wins against good opponents. You mentioned they have no bad losses per se right now. It's important to keep that slate clean as well. So as Wes said, we'll talk Pigskin on the other side of the break with former Orange Jake Flaherty on the Juice on the Cuse podcast. Welcome back to the Juice on the Cuse podcast. Matt D'Agostino, Wes Chang. And now we are joined by Jake Flaherty, former Syracuse football player, vice president of the Syracuse Football Club. And before we get into all that stuff and the goings on of Syracuse football these days, Jake, I want to hit the way back button just a little bit. So I'm not a very memorable person, so I don't expect you to remember this. But I'm going to take you all the way back. This is March 2004. This is the Juice magazine. So this is the impetus of the website and all that stuff. I'm going to open up the page here where it says
Field of Dreams.
It's like the meteorology thing where you don't know where the heck to point the magazine. But this is right at home. There's a byline, some unnoticeable guy, Matt D'Agostino there. But this is you remember that guy there, Jake, by chance?
Wow. I remember this article so well. And I totally remember the brochure. I totally remember the publication. And I remember Joe Fields. I believe the cover says like Field of Dreams or something.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So when I heard you were coming on, I literally dug through the crawl space in our attic today to find that because I assume I had it somewhere. So before we even get into the good stuff, take us back to your Syracuse football playing days. What do you remember most about it?
Yeah, first of all, thank you guys for having me on the show. Really love what you guys do. So back in that time, you know, I was recruited by Paul Pasqualoni. And of course, you know, fast forward to today where Coach Fran Brown is, you know, referencing those days a lot of times in his press conference, mentioned Pasqualoni and De Leon, but, you know, played a year for him. We tied for, I think, co-Big East champions with a few other teams that 2004. And of course, speaking of BC, I heard you guys talking about BC earlier. And I hope you're not buying any BC stock and selling Syracuse stock. But going back.
That was the Diamond Ferry game, wasn't it?
That was the Diamond Ferry game. And man, what I still don't know if I've seen anything as spectacular as that. And I remember the year before when I was visiting on like an official visit or something, when Walter Reyes was in the dome and scored, you know, what was it, 4 or 5 touchdowns against Notre Dame? You know, people forget about that game too, but that was, you know, right when I joined the program and, you know, joined it with guys who I still keep in touch with, you know, every week and, you know, were at my wedding. So, really a formative time of my life for sure. And nothing but great memories. And of course, leading up to Coach Pasqualoni being fired, you know, I think there's still some people people are still upset about that. Just even looking at some of these YouTube comments, I'm like, wow. You know, I mean, in the way, you know, it just happened, you know, anyways, we wouldn't go down that road, but yeah, that was basically the gist of it in those days.
And fast forward to now, you know, Fran Brown's been at the helm here for a few weeks, and a lot of excitement brewing around the program, the transfer portal, just the recruiting process as a whole. Give us your thoughts on the new era in Syracuse football.
Well, I think it's a really interesting time because of the deregulation and then, of course, NIL and the transfer portal. I mean, it's a completely different business now. And I feel like the changes happen so quickly and so, I guess, aggressively. And, you know, it's kind of seems like the wild, wild west, but I think it's great to see Syracuse. You know, I know we're a little behind maybe in some of our NIL groups and so on and so forth. And I know there's a couple that we have going, but we might be behind, you know, some of the SEC schools and some of these other larger institutions, but I feel like they're doing a good job, you know, getting out there. And I think we're seeing that now with some of the recruits that we're getting. I mean, that's how I'm looking at it. I mean, you know, the fact we got a Ohio State quarterback and a few others that you guys know of probably, but who led a team to being 11-1. And I'm sure there were, you know, a ton of contributors on that team, including Syracuse alum Marvin Harrison Jr.'s son. But, you know, I think they're doing a great job, or at least getting in position to.
So Fran Brown has had a quote from his introductory press conference, Jake. I want to get your thoughts on this. He says, I'm going to have four practices that are for alumni. He says, I want you guys at practice. I'd rather have you at practice than have your money, but I want your money too, though. So first of all, how awesome is that concept? Is that something that entices you? Will you take him up on the offer? And what does that say about his vision for the program as a whole?
I think it's great. I know there are some guys who would comment on the lack of accessibility to the program after they left and, you know, not being able to go to closed practices. And, you know, I think one had one former teammate, actually, he actually was a few years behind me, but he said he went back and had his arms crossed at a practice and was called out for it. You know, I won't say by who, you know, so things like that. I think it's, to me, it sounds very welcoming. And I think he's just one thing I've gathered from this guy. And I know he's played with one of my former teammates. They played college football together. And he's just a straight shooter and he's keeping it real. And he's basically like, yeah, like I think what his point, what he's trying to make is, you know, we want these guys, these young kids, 18, 22 young men, to see how engaged the alumni base is and actually like coming back and wanting to be a part of the program. And I think like with that, you know, maybe more wins will come. And I think with more wins that will come, you know, I think the money will come as well. I think people will really, you know, I know there's some alumni that played with my dad that were, you know, that are driving a lot of this NIL stuff. And, you know, so it's an interesting time.
Mentioned here as we're talking with Jake Flaherty, former Syracuse football player. You're the vice president of the Syracuse Football Club. What exactly is that? And how does it help Syracuse football in the present and in the long run?
Yeah, great question. So our motto is athletes helping athletes. And the Syracuse Football Club was established actually under Pasqualoni's reign. And it was, you know, working under the umbrella of the university for some time, and ended up separating into a private entity. Fast forward to now, we have roughly 1,600 members, you know, former Syracuse football players. And, you know, there's basically, you can just be a part of it, be on the email list, or you can, you know, have an annual membership. You can choose that at $75 a year. And then there's a lifetime membership for $750. But basically what we're doing is just making sure that, you know, every athlete that comes out of Syracuse has a job. That's, if I could get down to it, that's ultimately the main goal. And, you know, there's the business networking aspect of it, which is quite obvious. And then also, you know, for example, setting up mentoring opportunities, including interview practice. And I've been a member for a while, but this is my first month really being involved with the club itself. And, but yeah, so current mission, athletes helping athletes, and then long-term same thing, but also trying to engage, the younger generations. So, you know, especially guys that are coming right out of college.
And how'd you get involved in all of that? Is it something that you just heard from a birdie and decided it was interested to you? Did someone approach you with it? How did that?
Yeah. So my dad played in the 60s. He played for Schwarzwater from 66 to 70 and, you know, played with a lot of some great football players, Larry Zonka included, Tommy Myers. I know he still keeps in touch with Tommy quite a bit. I don't know if you know who that is, but he was a great safety for Syracuse and the Saints and overcame cancer. And so just so many guys, so many stories that I've been and people, personalities that I've been able to meet, Cliff Ensley, guys like him, and lucky to have been in sort of a network. So I knew these guys quite a bit, and I was a member. I was sort of like, you know, but not really actively participating in meetings and stuff like that, to be honest. And, you know, we kind of you know, collectively in one conversation, we were up at a golf outing that they organized at Drumlin's. And they basically said, look, man, like, you know, your dad, us, like, we're getting older and like, we want to keep this going. And, you know, I think one of the downsides of not operating directly underneath the university is you kind of get on this island and you're not really like engaged with the head coach. You're not, you know, they're setting up like financial edification classes, like, you know, teaching kids how to manage money, things like that, or even having, we have so many guys in the club that are in finance and super talented and successful that could come in and just like talk to the team about, you know, things like that. So, and we're still, we know that there's like a unique opportunity. So to answer your question, sorry, I'm rambling, but basically was, you know, introduced to a lot of these guys that were in a decision-making capacity for the club. And they said, hey, like, you know, maybe we can engage some younger generations. And they sort of tasked me with doing that, you know, not that I'm especially young or old, I'm kind of like middle of the pack. So they're hoping I can be a bridge. And, but we've had some great calls and we're trying to, you know, just increase membership and things like that. So
you hear that, Wes? He's calling himself a contemporary and he's pretty much ours. So we're contemporary. We're kind of middle.
We're not old. We're not young. I like it, Jake. Yeah, thank you for that.
Right smack dab in the middle there. So we'll take that and we'll let you go on that one. Jake Flaherty.
Back on the Juice on the Cues podcast, Wes Chang alongside Matt D'Agostino. Matt, I'll close the show on this thought. You know, two shows ago, we were talking about New Year's resolutions. I said Syracuse had to work inside the trenches on the offensive defensive line. This is an official visitor weekend in the world of college football recruiting. Syracuse is hosting offensive lineman Shamarcus Adams from Navarro Community College, along with two guys who've already committed, Demetrius Weatherspoon and Joshua Miller. On the defensive side of the ball, defensive tackle Michael Nwacha from Tyler Community College would join New Mexico commit Deion Wilson. So five players taking official visits. All of them are linemen. Two of them are uncommitted. That's a pretty good start to that New Year's resolutions plan. They're not having any of the other skill guys come in. So they know what their needs are. They're addressing them. And, you know, that's my closing thought, Matt.
Strength in numbers in both the recruiting world and also interest levels when you're getting, you know, multiple guys that are interested in the program all at the same time. Good things are bound to happen. I have two closing thoughts just from things that have popped up during this podcast. One, KenPom rankings. I'd like to get maybe a Wes Chang rankings or a Matt Daggs rankings. What do we need to do to get our own rankings named after us in nickname fashion? That's one. And we talked with Jake Flaherty about Fran Brown wanting alumni to come back and practice with the football team. I need clarification, Wes, if you talk to Coach Brown, is that just former athlete alumni or are we opening it up to everybody who is an alumni? If so, I'm getting the pads.
If you've got college eligibility left, Matt, I think he's talking to you. So yeah, if you've got those 4 years left, I think you should go try out.
I'm going to need more details. I'll see if Coach Brown's available here. On the Cues podcast. Wes Chang, Matt D'Agostino. Have a great weekend. We'll be back with you soon.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.